Shalom everyone. Today we study Parashat Shmini, which is, of course, part of the book of Vayikra, Leviticus, and it's in line with the topics, with the same topic of the previous Parashot of the book of Vayikra, Leviticus. So we are reading Parashat Shmini, starts on chapter 9, verse 1. In the book of Leviticus. Vayi bayom ha-shmini, and it was on the eighth day. Okay? So that's a very, very powerful message, the eighth day. We know that just the moment we hear the eighth day, literally in the simple level, just for everybody to get the time frame. On the physical sense of time space, it was on the first day in the month of Nisan, a year minus 2 weeks after the Exodus. So we are right now, if you just want to understand the time frame, the timeline, Exodus happens on the full moon of Nisan. Okay, 50 days later, Mount Sinai Revelation that we celebrate as Shavuot. 40 days later, the sin of the golden calf, Moses is coming down with the two tablets, sin of the golden calf, and then that was the 17th of Tammuz. Just to follow again the timeline, Moses comes up to the mount second time, new moon of Elul, a month before Rosh Hashanah. He stays there on the mount for another 40 days and 40 nights. He's coming down with a second set of tablets on Yom Kippur. The day after Yom Kippur, he gives the instructions to the nation of Israel to construct the tabernacle. So then it is about almost 6 months, and then the tabernacle is ready on Adar, which means the 6 month afterwards, the end of Adar, and then they try to establish, or they do a kind of a dry run of establishing the portable temple, the tabernacle, the Mishkan. We'll see why it's very important. And on the eighth day was the new moon of Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So we are right now a year minus 2 weeks after the Exodus. So that's where we are at. And what happened on that day? So the Mishkan, the temple, the portable temple, the Israelite had in the desert. We're in the desert, just to remind everybody. they established the eighth time. They put together the tabernacle. And so I'll translate what it says. Vayi bayom ha-shmini, it happened to be on the eighth day. Eighth day to what? 7 days of dry run, which means constructing the tabernacle together. On the eighth day, now it is the real thing, new moon of Nisan, of Aries. Kara Moshe le'Aaron ulvanav, Moses called Aaron and his sons, ulezeknei Yisrael, and the elders of Israel. That was verse 1. Verse 2, Vayomer el Aaron, and he says to Aaron, Kach lecha egel ben makar, get yourself a calf from the cattle, lechatat, as a sin offering. There was a sin of the golden calf, and now it's time, remember, Mount Sinai revelation was an amazing event. The level that the Israelite arrived to at Mount Sinai revelation was the level of correcting, cleansing, repairing the damage that Adam and Eve did to all the souls of humanity. Now the Israelites on Mount Sinai basically made a correction of their damage. That means that when Moses came down 40 days later with the two tablets, If there was no golden calf, then the revelation would spread to the whole world, to all the nations, and it was end for death, suffering, misery. Humanity would have gone onto another lane of spiritual growth without fighting death. However, the sin of the golden calf brought everything backwards, not to the moment before Mount Sinai revelation, but it was not as it used to be. Remember now, the Israelites are now in a aftershock after the golden calf. How could we do that? What have we done? It's a kind of a guilt, remorse, whatever. And now it's time to repair and to get another chance. So this day was supposed to be, as it says in many places, as a reparation, as a repairing, correction of the sin of the golden calf. And that's why it starts with an offering of a calf as a symbol for repairing the damage of the golden calf. And then it says, it continues. So take yourself a calf from the cattle for a sin offering. And then there's a list of more offerings. But what's important is verse 6. Vayomer Moshe, and Moses says, Zeh hadavar asher tzivah Adonai. This is what God commanded. Ta'asu, you should do. Ve'yera alechem kevod Adonai. And the glory of God, of Hashem, will be seen upon you. Which means when the glory of Hashem will be seen upon you, that's kind of repair, correction, completion, moving on, leaving the damage beyond, behind, and moving on. And that's, we are talking about less than a year after the damage happened. Then the words continue, and it explains from verse 7 and on what they did. And then we come to verse 24. After Mo Aaron and his sons and Moses, they basically activated, dedicated the new temple they built in the desert. Verse 24, Vatetze esh milifnei Adonai, and the fire came from above, from Hashem, Vatochal al hamizbeach, and the fire consumed whatever was on the altar, et haolah, the offerings, Vayar kol ha'am, and the whole nation saw. Again, we have a very similar event at Mount Sinai. Remember, there's something very different. I think that, every religion on earth starts with a revelation. Somebody had a revelation. The revelation happened in a dream, in a cave, in seclusion. It was basically a revelation from God, a God, from some God, an angel, any kind of revelation. And the new, a messenger of the new religion appears to the people with all kinds of proofs that he is founding a new religion because he got the true, last true message from above. Okay? Here we have two events. Two events that what we call the Abrahamic religions are based on. It was not based on one person having a revelation. Yes, Moses had a revelation by the burning bush. He had the revelation on Mount Sinai, bringing down the tablets twice. However, the main thing that the Bible, the Torah, is based on is that the revelation was a participation of everyone in the crowd. We are talking about the nation of Israel. And here, so that happens twice. Once on Mount Sinai, everybody participated, everybody experienced. It's not a personal thing of Moses that he brought a message to the people. Yeah, he brought the message till that moment. Everybody experienced epiphany on the Exodus, not just Moses, and on the splitting of the Red Sea, that everybody experienced a revelation on the level of prophecy. Everyone, including even the lowest class people, where it says, Ra'ata shifcha el hayam, what the Talmud is saying, a maid among the Israelites saw the revelation higher than the revelation of Ezekiel the prophet. So that's accepted. Everybody participated. And here we have again, second chance. And here it is again, Vayar Kol Ha'am. And the whole nation saw. Vayaronu, and they, the word Rina over here is very, very central to what's happening. Rina means singing, praying, and happiness. Joy, rejoicing, that's what Vayaronu. Everybody rejoiced, everybody prayed, everybody was excited, everybody was happy. Vayar Kol Ha'am, the whole, it's like there's a connection between the sight revelation and the excitement, the experience. The result was Vayiplu al pnehem, they fell to the ground, which is very common in many books of the prophets. Most of the prophets, it says that they fell. Why did they fall? So research is saying, brain research, when you achieve such a level of a prophetic connection, the parts of your brain that are connected to the motoric area, which means in order for a person to sit or even to, and especially to stand, you need to have a constant connection between the brain and the nervous system that is connected to the skeletal muscles and so on. The moment you experience epiphany, prophecy, connection to the above, that noise has to shut down. And the moment it shuts down, a normal human being is not capable of standing anymore because you have to replace the main focal point of your brain into being one with the universe, being one with the creator, with the creation. That sense of oneness that in modern research, that sense of is being described in many experiments. That sense of oneness cannot happen in the same time that the brain is busy with location, directions, up and down, where is up, where is down, and all the muscles of the skeletal muscles. It's like that has to be shut down. That noise has to be shut down. So they lose their, they experience a prophetic revelation. It's exciting, it's happy, it's a prayer, it's a feeling, it's a revelation, it's amazing. And then we have an amazing experience. And what is, and the Zohar is explaining about this experience, like it's very hard, I looked a lot, very hard to find among the common commentaries What happened? How did that feel? It's like there's a total ignoring of what happened. Like there's something that, let's say, of course, we'll go to Rashi, the main commentator in the last 1,000 years, that he doesn't invent anything. He brings it from earlier commentaries, but it's like he's making a summary. It doesn't say too much. It says something very simple. Okay, on verse 2, he says, "Ki hayom Hashem nira alechem," God is going to be revealed to you. Is going to be revealed to you. And he says, that's verse 4, I'm sorry. And he says, "Le'ashrot shchinato b'maaseh yedechem." That's it. That's the whole description. It's very hard to find others, but it's enough. Le'ashrot shchinato. Okay, we have here very two important words. Hashra'ah. Hashra'ah means inspiration, but it's that's how you translate it one to one, but to English, but it doesn't mean so in Hebrew. Hebrew hashra'ah means that something dwells, that something spiritual, something of non-physical nature, which means we are talking about kind of a something that is above reality, dwells upon something of a physical reality. And then, Shechinato, what is Shechinah? Shechinah, very famous word, but what does it mean really in English? Shechinah, the Zohar has a concept, a very important concept that repeats itself many, many times. In the Hebrew word Shekhinah, it's coming from the root Shin Kaf Nun. Okay, what does that mean? And the Zohar says from that root we can bring out two main words, Shochen, the dweller, and Shekhinah. Shekhinah is when the dweller. What's the mean the dweller? When the hidden non-physical presence of the light of the Creator that is expanding from the source of the essence of the Creator, when that force of life, that vitality, that chiyut, chai, chi, ki in some tradition, it's like a force of life. When that force of life comes down through all the sefirot, which means all the conduits of divine force of life, the light of the creation, when it comes down and finally it dwells, Shochen sits into the last aspect of creation, which means human, physical, body, reality, whatever you call it. In this case, it is a composition of the Mishkan, whoever knows Hebrew, Mishkan, also coming from the same Shoresh, Shin Kaf Nun. So, what Mishkan means? You have the English word tabernacle. Okay, which it's something like many other words in English. It's from Latin or from Greek, but in Hebrew it's very simple. Mishkan is the dwelling place of what? The Shochen. But a Mishkan cannot be a dwelling place unless there are people who activate the physical structure, which is made of, in this case, in the desert. The Mishkan was made of wood, mostly acacia wood, silver, gold, all the cloth, whatever that were parts of the Mishkan, and later on where there was the temple. So it was a stone and wood building. Okay, but the concept is the same. Now we have here basically a celebration of the dedication of the tabernacle. Does that remind us of something? Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a dedication of the second temple, also is being commemorated by 8 days celebration. Why eight? So many Kabbalists will explain to us the number seven represents reality that can be perceived by the five senses. Okay? 7 days a week, seven continents, 70 nations, 70 countries, whatever. This physical reality is a partial reality. But it is the dwelling place, the vessel of the higher reality that has many, many layers, which is basically it's a multidimensional reality. Why? Because the eternal infinite light of the Creator, that light that is shining from the essence of the Creator, that power of life, that without it nothing can exist even for a split second, that light that is imbued into every part of the creation, every part of the creation, we have many layers to that, what is called the creation. But the creation is the dwelling place, the Mishkan, okay, of the Shekhinah, which means where the light of the Creator manifests itself in what we call as the creation. If we go through the story of the creation, the way the Zohar describes it, we have an evolutionary process from the creation of Adam and Eve. Let's start from the creation of the heaven and the earth. Genesis chapter 1, just the beginning. There was a night, there was a day, verse 5, one day. There was already a creation, and the light of the Creator already dwelled in that creation, and they were one. However, we learn something very, very important. The giving, the expansion of the light of the Creator created the vessel for that light. And because it's being hinted at the same chapter, chapter one, that Adam was the pinnacle of the creation and he was created. We don't have Adam in chapter one. It's not really Adam that we know, it's not humanity that we know, because there's no physical body. The physical body was created the way we know it only in the later chapters when we talk about the sin of Adam. Only then, when we have a physical perception of reality like we know, with illusion, which was Adam before the sin, he could perceive the reality, the multidimensional reality of the ten sefirot, the olamot, the concealments, the worlds, whatever. We live in a multidimensional reality. Adam could or had the ability to perceive that kind of reality, and his journey in what we call the Garden of Eden was the journey of containing all of that multidimensional reality and becoming the ultimate vessel for the infinite light of the Creator. However, because we were created, just to remind whoever studies Kabbalah and to teach whoever it's new to him, we were created in the image of the Creator, but the Creator has no image. How can the infinite have an image? Because image is a definition, which means, well, you have a, how do you define something? Defining is the infinite of, is the opposite of infinite. Define infinite, it's two opposites. Okay? So how can the infinite be defined? And of course, when the infinite created human souls, the vessel for its expansion, it imprinted itself in what we call the vessel, what we know today as human souls, the desire to receive God's infinite light. This is the essence of the creation. This is the essence of reality. And this is the essence of what life is about. Everything else is just kind of trivial cover-up, like you have a movie. There's a main story, but there's a lot of little details to just fill up the frame. So it's just not just like images moving in empty. You need to have some backup to the story. And why do you need to have some backup to the story? Because you need to have distractions. Why do you have to need this? Why do you need distraction? Why do we need evil inclination? Why do we need a physical body? Why do we need all kinds of seduction and distraction and whatever is basically the lies of the physical reality that they tell us, you want to be a perfect human being, you should be healthy. And if you have money, if you have status, whatever, there's all the stuff that you, when you're a little kid, you study, you work hard like daddy, whatever, like other people, then you achieve this and this and this, and you'll achieve. You'll be happy. It doesn't work. Why it doesn't work? Because what we define as the main goals of humanity, it's not the main goals of humanity. It's not. It's only an obstruction. It's only an illusion. It's the lies of materialistic religion. And that's why people are so much not content. There's one story and one story alone. The story is the evolution of the vessel. And because the vessel was created and imprinted with the image of the creator. What's the image of the creator? We explained many, many times the three basic simple aspects to what does it mean, the image of the creator. One, the creator is independence, which means nobody tells the creator what to do. What does it mean? Nobody can change the creator. The creator is infinite and we cannot change it. No matter what we do, we cannot change the infinite light of the creator. We cannot change the essence of the creator, God forbid. It's impossible. Why can a finite creature, even all of humanity together, change the infinite, the source? Can the cause, the can the effect change the cause? Impossible. Okay. And therefore, we humans cannot stand situation in which we are not independent. When our well-being is dependent on our body, wealth, all kinds of other artificial, physical things, we are not independent. And we can't stand that. We hate that. Okay, that means we cannot reach real, true fulfillment and peace. Or in Hebrew, more shalom. Shalom comes from the word wholeness. We cannot feel whole as long as we are as our well-being is dependent on external, limited, finite issues, like money. It's great to have money, but you cannot have your happiness dependent on money or on alcohol or food or whatever. You need alcohol, you need food, all of that stuff, it's okay. But not as long as you depend on it. Creativity. The creator is creator. He is creative. Impossible to find happy, content, lazy people. The happy people I know are very creative. And the third aspect, we said already, independence, creativity, and the third, giving. The creator is a great giver. We need to give in order to feel like a whole. You cannot meet or find happy, selfish people. No way. Oh, those people that are not independent, that are not creative and are not givers, they can get excited for a short while. This is just for the free will purpose. Okay, but to reach a state of well-being that lasts for hours and days and weeks and months, they can't. You need to find your own creator within yourself. And therefore, humanity is on the quest of finding or revealing the creator within. How do you do that? That's the evolution that is being described in the book of Genesis, in the book of Exodus, and now it comes to the peak in the book of Leviticus. And here, when we have all the Israelites, why all the Israelites? We have, as Rabbi Ashlag explains, he brings it from many, many sources, the founder of the Kabbalah Modern Movement, in his great essay, Matan Torah, the article, The Giving of the Torah, and he says, you can establish the Torah and the rules of the Torah only when you have minimum 600,000 people accepting the idea. And the main idea is accepting the idea of loving others as you love yourself. Only then you could be free to become a whole. Only then. Okay? And we can find it in, for instance, in Perush Or Yakar, which is not a mystical commentary, but it's the best you can find. And he says, yeah, it's right that you had to push some buttons. The offerings, the calf and the ram and whatever they did. But the most important thing is what they did in order to create Mount Sinai Revelation. Remember, we are right now after Passover, and we are on a journey that condenses the journey of humanity into 50 days. It's called Sefirat HaOmer. Simply translated, the counting of the Omer. What is an Omer? It's a sheaf of barley, okay? That the high priest harvests the day after Pesach. Very simple. However, if you study Kabbalah, you understand that Sefirah means emanation of light, and Omer means the pure white light of the Creator. So what is Sefirat HaOmer? It's a days that the emanations of the pure light of the Creator are being revealed, and we have to call those lights in, so when the holiday of Shavuot is coming, we can re-experience Mount Sinai Revelation, which is equivalent in a way to what we read in Parashat Shemini. What happens in that time? Shemini means what happens after the 7 days. 8 means the supernatural. 7 is the perception of reality. 8 is the supernatural. It's above natural. It's the metaphysics. And what we have in Shavuot, we count 7 weeks, 7 times 7, and then after we finish the counting, the 7, this case, the 7 weeks, then the next one is the Jubilee. It's a supernatural revelation, which means the journey of humanity is the journey towards the supernatural union. What does mean the supernatural union? That's the ceremony that in which the physical world, in this case, is the tabernacle and the nation of Israel, uniting. And what the Or Yakar is saying, Vayikrevu kol ha'eda, something that we have to reread again. We didn't read it before. I'm sorry. Verse 8:5 in chapter 9. Vayikhu at asher tzivah Moshe el pnei ohel moed, and they took what Moses ordered in front of the tent of the gathering. Vayikrevu kol ha'edah, and the whole congregation got close to each other. And the Or Yakar is saying, what does it mean? Vayikrevu, it's very important to do the physical actions. Why? Because the same way we know, if I want my computer to receive any kind of internet information, my computer must be structured in a certain code that we know is the code of the internet. The whole world internet has a code, and you have to have a physical system that goes by that code. And if it doesn't go by that code, you cannot receive any internet proper message. Your computer would not get the code or would not interpret the code in a way that you can use that code. You need a receiver, same way you get a phone call. If your phone is not constructed by the code, the international code, you won't be able to get the call. So that's called, and when you call somebody, they answer the call. Again, so our brain right now knows you need a receiver to receive. You need a receiver that is something that is beyond your five senses. Our five senses cannot understand the electronic messages that come through the wire into our computer. And even right now, my computer is connected to the internet wireless. If you're watching it through your mobile phone or whatever, most of the information goes even wireless. Can our physical brain understand how it goes, how the information travels? Wireless? Not exactly. I don't know how many people can understand that. I don't know if anyone can really understand. Where most people, some people know what you have to do in order for to get that, which means in order to receive the message. So these are the people that build our magical machines, our mobile phones, our smartphones, our computers, our tablets, whatever. But we know in our reality, we cannot understand, we cannot really perceive how the information travels through the wires and through the air. We don't know really. Right now, through the air, there's so many broadcastings of so many sources of information, but we know one thing. You need a physical receiver to receive that call. Okay? That is the name of the book, Vayikra. And he called. What does it mean? God sends you the call. Can you answer the call? In order to answer the call, you need, the Zohar says, you need a physical action below. Okay? During Mount Sinai revelation, the physical action below was this 7 weeks. 7 weeks of counting the Omer. Most of it, the Israelites ate the manna. There was something they had to do. That later on, 40 days later, it failed. So we got another code. We created that code. We created the receiver, the Mishkan. Mishkan means that receiver who can get the call. So the Mishkan was made from all of those materials and structures that are being described in the book of Exodus, Parashat Vayakhel Pekudei, Parashat Terumah Tetzaveh, and so on, Ki Tisa. It's there. It's being described. It's been described in the book of Leviticus also. So when we constructed the tabernacle, that was a receiver. That receiver worked only one way, says the Kli Yakar, the same way as it says that on Mount Sinai, Vayichan Israel keneged ahar, and the nation of Israel camped in front of the mount, but in Hebrew, camped in plural is Vayachanu. Vayichan is in single, which means Rashi is explaining, he brings it from the other sources, ancient sources, Keish Echad Belev Echad, as one person, one heart. That repeat over here, Vayikrevu, says the Kli Yakar, Letaken Acheta Kodem, in order to correct the sin, Haba Mitoch Perut Levavot, that came from separation, dispute. The Erev Rav had a dispute with Aaron and the Levites, and so the calf was constructed out of dispute. So later on, they corrected the later sin. And that's why, Bekiruv, when they got close to each other, Vayikrevu, they got close to each other, and their hearts got close to each other, then that was the last action that activated their revelation, which means when there was the unity of the nation of Israel connected with the actions of Aaron and his sons and Moses, connected with the physical structure that was built by them, the light came from above, the fire came from above, consumed the offering, and all the nation of Israel experienced that ascension into that level of being vessels for the light of the creation. So we see here how humanity is going through evolution. And the purpose of the evolutionary process is that moment of union of people together, excitement, physical action, and then ascension and experience unity and the revelation. Okay? That got upgraded in the time of King Solomon. King Solomon is building the temple in Jerusalem. The temple in Jerusalem, as if you read in the book of Kings, King Solomon's prayer when he is dedicating, inaugurating, or if we translate it directly, Chanukah means educating. Educating, which means basically you got a computer. You connect it. Does it work right now? No, you have to activate the main program. There's a process. It's getting shorter and shorter, but you have to activate that computer with your programs, with your browser, all of that stuff. Okay, you have to activate it. King Solomon is activating the temple that is replacing the tabernacle that was built by Moses 440 years earlier, as it says in the book of Kings. When he activates the temple and he prays, this is not just for the Israelite nation. This is also for people who come from all over the world, for every human being. This is built, constructed, which means we're going right now to a higher level, 12 tribes of Israel in the middle. Jerusalem in the middle of the 12 tribes. In the middle of Jerusalem, you have the temple and you have that activation that basically is meant for one thing, to connect humanity, all of humanity, Israel in the middle, as again a physical construction that is basically a Mishkan, a place that the metaphysical light, unseen infinite light, can dwell in, and then shalom can happen. What is shalom? It's not peace. Peace is one aspect of the word shalom. The word shalom comes from the Hebrew letters shin lamed mem, whole, complete, so humanity can be complete. Okay? When can humanity be complete? Only when we reach true epiphany, true prophecy, true rina. Rina means it's an excitement. It is coming from basically that union between the vessel and the light that fulfills it, between the shochen, the dweller, the light of the creator, and the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah means basically the reality that is being created when the Shochen is coming to the Mishkan, the actual tabernacle, and later on the temple, whatever is about it. Now, the temple existed for over 400 years, destroyed by the Babylonians. 70 years later, the second temple was built to replace it. Another few hundred years, and then the temple was destroyed by the Romans. Now, the sages, pressure, they know the temple is going to take a long time till the temple is going to be restored. Hopefully very soon. What do we do in the meantime? We need to create a tabernacle. We need to create a vessel. We need to create a receiver that can receive the infinite light of the Creator. And that's how they came out with the idea of the synagogue, Beit Knesset. Synagogue comes from the Greek gathering place, but the mystical explanation is coming from Esh Noga. Esh Noga, glowing fire. It's a vessel for the glowing fire of the Creator. What does it mean? So there are rules to create a synagogue. How you construct it, the synagogue must have an ark. The ark should be facing, should, doesn't have to, facing Jerusalem. In the ark should have at least one kosher Torah written, like Moses wrote 13 copies of them, okay? And all the Torah since then are copies of the originals of Moses. In every synagogue, you have an ark that replaces the Ark of the Covenant that was stored in the Holy of Holies in the first temple. Now, instead of the offerings, you have the prayers. And we have many other actions. And then that's the basic. Now the congregation, the people that come to the synagogue, each one of them has his own priesthood in his home, which means every table for Shabbat or holiday is the altar. The Shabbat dinners or the holiday dinners are basically vessels, tabernacle, Mishkan. Mishkan, a dwelling place for the light of the Creator. So now we have, again, a whole nation, the same way. First, you have the revelation, like we had when whoever studied with me, the Passover. And we explained, there is a revelation of the light of Passover that comes in two ways. The internal light comes in. The light of the internal spiritual revelation comes through the prayer in the synagogue of the evening prayer of Passover. Okay? Then a second wave of light is coming. Now it's called the surrounding light. And that is being revealed during the Seder itself. both have a physical thing. One is in the synagogue with a minyan, at least 10 men, praying together with the consciousness of bringing down that light. What is the recipient? The synagogue, the congregation, the minyan, bringing in that light. Then this, the light, the external light, which means you need a physical essence for that. And that's the Seder, which means you need the Passover plate, which has three matzot, Chochmah Binah Da'at, the upper three sefirot. Then you have the plate itself, when you have Zohar, Beitzah, Maor, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, the upper triangle. You have the Charoset, the Karpas, Chazeret, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and the plate, Malchut. You build, you constructed, you made your table as, again, the Mishkan, the altar in the temple. So the Zohar says, every person who is into magic knows you have to do something below in order to awaken something from above. This is the rule. We have a soul, and the soul can act and do something only through a physical body. So what the sages constructed is, instead of the work in the temple, okay, that's how you do it. That's how you do it, by synagogue, by congregation, by the physical action of the Seder. And again, it's called Mikra Eikodesh, calling the holiness in. So why do we need the matzah? Why do we need, the same way, why do I need certain chips in my computer for my computer to work? That's a code. The Torah is the code. Along the evolution of humanity, the sages simply developed the code. How do we still call in? But what do we call in? And that's a major essence in this parasha. You want to be a whole. If you're not awakening that consciousness, that awareness, that desire, that craving for the infinite light of the Creator, and you're not becoming a Mishkan, as it says in Parashat Truma, Ve'asu li Mishkan ve'shachanti betocha, they will make me a Mishkan and I will dwell within them. Which means, what do we, so the Torah is basically giving us the magical rules. How do I, in this physical reality, use physical components to create the physical Mishkan for the Shekhinah? The physical is the Mishkan, the dwelling place. The Shekhinah is what happens when the Shochen, the light, dwells into the physical dwelling place. However, for that to happen, you need two ingredients in the physical dimension. One, you need the Torah, you need matzah, you need all of that stuff, and you need people who are at union. You need people who love each other, and because of that, they're all there. The moment we love each other, then all the lines of communication open up so we can align with the tree of life, tree of life alignments, and the light of the infinite can shine into our own body. And if you study Kabbalah, our body is constructed according to the tree of life. The same way the Passover plate is constructed as the tree of life. How could that be? The Passover said it does not look like a human being. But if you know Kabbalah and you know, you learn about the tree of life, you understand that the three upper sefirot, which is being revealed in the physical head. And then you have the Sfirat Chesed, which is the right hand, Sfirat Gvura, which is the left hand, and then you have Tiferet, which is the torso, and so on and so forth. I won't go into it. But it's all about Mishkan Shekhinah Shochen. Again, the Shochen is the light of the Creator. He created everything so he can be revealed. How can he be revealed? The Torah is giving us the rules, the code. Okay? You need A, B, C. As I explained before, in our time, this is what we call, it's not tradition. This is not tradition. Whoever says this is tradition, he is an idol worshiper. He's not a real monotheist. If you don't have a metaphysical awareness that everything has a metaphysical aspect, every physical thing, why does it say do not steal? Because when I want something, an object, I don't really want the physical manifestation of the object, the physical perception. I want pleasure. And that object cannot give me the essence because the essence inside that object is the light of God that is shining every split second into that object. The moment I steal the object, I cannot have access into the infinite within, into the divine within the physical object. I can only connect to the five senses experience. How long can that fulfill me? Only an elusive. So when we do not have that awareness, we are all thieves. The Zohar goes into it a lot in Parashat Ekev. What does it mean, thieves? We think it's tradition. The moment I think it's tradition, and then I'm connecting to a tradition, so I'm doing it because my ancestors did it. The Bible says so. God told me to do that. You're a thief. What's the problem being a thief? You will never be a Mishkan. You will never reach your calling. You'll be always dry, depleted, empty, stupid. Okay? Which means empty. You will never understand reality. You'll be chasing after short gratifications. You will try to eat or to get high on drugs. Your soul will be yearning for what is described over here? Rina. Vayaronu. Your soul will crave for epiphany, for awareness, for awe, for revelation. And you will look everywhere and you won't find it. And then your essence will gradually dry. That's called aging. And you will age and get dry and become bitter and become cynical and become hateful and greedy. And you'll be controlled by all kinds of punishments, which are called addictions. Addictions to fear, addiction to anxiety, addiction to hatred, addiction to materialism, addiction to money, addiction to control. You'll be a control freak, a manic, and addiction to complaints, to being a victim, addiction to be a tyrant, trying to get the feeling of security and fulfillment by controlling other people and abusing their rights. Whatever we see around us, all the atrocities and the suffering of humanity is because we're hungry. We're drying. We feel terrible fear that we're dying. And we are dying. All of humanity, the moment you are not understanding what I'm talking about, you are in a very accelerated path of dying. And you get anxious about it. You get afraid You get fearful. You feel the lack and depression, whatever you call it, whatever the ailments of our society is a direct result of it. The answer, and as the prophet says, days are coming, days are coming, and I'll throw hunger, famine to the earth. It's not hunger for food, for bread. It's not thirst for water. It is the thirst for the word of God. Without it, we are missing the calling. God is calling. Do we answer? Do we pick up the call? That's exactly what we're talking about. This is what the Zohar is teaching us. So we'll complete with that. The Zohar says, it was the eighth day. So, eighth day, that's connecting to the supernatural, to the dimension above. That is a dimension that Chirut is coming from. When do we feel real free? Only when we feel whole. When is when we pick up the call? When we set up ourselves and our environment, our home, our community, into a calling system, a system that receive Mishkan, receive the dwelling of the light, Shekhinah, and then the Shochen, the dweller, the infinite light of the Creator can dwell into it. And that's what the whole story is about. So that day was, the Zohar says, that was, could have been the most happiest day in history. Then the two sons of Aaron, they got so out of themselves, they were so excited, they wanted more, and they took the incense and they ran into the tabernacle to offer the incense, which is the highest level. But they were not ready for that. And they were burnt. And everything was shut down. It was not shut down all over. We just had a taste of the correction. The Mishkan continued to operate. Every day there was another epiphany, another excitement. And when there's no Mishkan and there's no Beit HaMikdash temple, we have our own prayers. And as the Rabbi Isaac Luria is saying, if you're not aware, when you celebrate Passover, when you blow the shofar or listen to it on Rosh Hashanah, when you pray your morning prayers, any kind of prayer, and you're not imagining that whatever you do is getting yourself becoming a Mishkan, so you can bring in the light of the Creator. So why prayers are not enough? Sometimes the light that is coming is kind of different. It's coming from a higher level. And for that, the Creator gave us, in order to create the device you're watching right now. The materials could be very rare heavy metals that were brought from all over the planet. That's a very hard work. Till that composition became that device you're watching right now or using right now, that's very hard. The sages devised to us, how do we do it? Something that every person can do it at home. When you take a matzah, which is basically regular wheat flour or one of the five grains, and you bake it within less than 18 minutes, okay? So from the moment you got the water in. That's the definition of a matzah. Very easy to prepare, basically. Okay, so you get three matzot. Okay, then you need zroah. That could be something a cooked, roasted piece of meat. Okay, chicken or meat, whatever. Then you have beitzah, an egg. Then in the middle you have maror, a bitter herb. And there's a whole list of different bitter herbs can you bring. Very, very friendly, user-friendly. And then you have charoset that you can take, you know, the Arizal is taking 10 ingredients. If you don't have, you can take like a little bit of wine, raisins, and almonds, or any kinds of other stuff like this, like nuts, and you have it. And then you have a carpaccio. It's very easy. Very easy, user friendly. You just have to compose it. But the most important thing is unity and the desire, the craving to bring in God's light. Because that is Shmini, rising to the eighth dimension, the dimension of the supernatural. Only that can give us true freedom. Without it, we'll be always hungry. We'll have a slow, painful death. That's what materialism is about. If we don't look at all of these materials as basically components of a spiritual Mishkan that you we correct co-created, the Shabbat candles, the Kiddush over the wine. There is a saying, if you're not meditating over a spiritual light, it's not working, but you need also a physical device. Yes, if I was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, I can sit in a cave and my meditations, I don't need wine and I don't need bread. Okay, for the Kiddush of Shabbat, I don't need. I can create myself as a Mishkan for that light. But I'm not Rabbi Shimon, I'm not at that level. How could I create the Mishkan, the receiver? Take wine, take bread, have a table with a white cloth on it, and imagine that this is the table, this is the altar that will be the Mishkan for the light of Shabbat. If you train yourself this way, if you meditate daily, you'll feel you will start stop dying. You will start experience awakening. You will start to experience revival. You'll start to experience real, true freedom. Freedom is not that you live in a democratic government and you can do whatever you want according to the law. No, that's not freedom. You are enslaved to your hunger, your thirst, and especially you're enslaved to your anxiety because you're dying painful, slow death. So in order to just to get yourself to feel alive, so you take drugs, so you try to make money, you try to get yourself excited about stuff, and it's high and by. You cannot reach the core. You cannot awaken the core, that your core needs to connect to the tree of life. That is what we're talking about. So all of those mitzvot, all of those, it's not tradition. Mitzvot come to the word tzevet, to team. It's our tools that we can use to team with the tree of life. And then we become Mishkan, the dwelling place of the light of the Creator. How much light? Infinite. Infinite light. Every one of us should experience epiphany, awareness, awakening, high, daily. And when we do that, we discover the purpose of life and we stop dying. That's why it said that what happened on Mount Sinai was humanity stopped dying. Humanity received the secret of how to revive itself. When humanity all is using all of these tools, we arrive to what is called the Tchiyat HaMetim, the resurrection. What is the resurrection? When we realize, all of us, that we don't need to die. We just can create a gradual growth and an opening till all the meridians in our body, in our soul, everything opens up and we simply becomes priests in God's temple. Thank you so much. God bless you.